I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike, we've all heard the phrase, it's hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk, but what about it's hot enough to bake a loaf of bread in a mailbox?
It doesn't quite roll off the tongue like egg on a sidewalk, but given the brutal heat that millions of us have experienced this summer, I guess it's not out of the question.
Well, in July, a woman in Montgomery County, Texas, that's directly north of Houston, posted photos of herself pulling a loaf of bread out of her brick mailbox, and it went viral. Because viral is apparently what we aim for.
That's right. The things we'll do for clicks and views.
Turns out, maybe not surprisingly, the photos were not real. She didn't really bake anything in her mailbox. She just wanted to illustrate how hot it was and joke about saving money on electricity.
And I can appreciate that, because you and I are also in Texas, different part of the state, but we're all hot down here at this time of the year. And frankly, I'm a little tired of trying to figure out new ways to say it's hot on the air every morning.
What's the most creative way you've come up with to say it?
Stifling, strangling, suffocating. My co-anchor described the weather as toasty the other day.
It's pretty good.
Actually, I think we're about 10 exits past toasty. That is one of our producers, Chris Blake. I'm Mike Rogers. This is Something Offbeat. This week, I spoke to the chair of the Department of Geography and Meteorology at Valparaiso University in Indiana, Dr. Teresa Balls-Elsholtz, about how hot it would really have to be to cook outside. It kind of looks like a little brick oven, really. It's one of these out on the street. It's made completely out of brick. Given that, how hot would it actually have to be to bake a loaf of bread in a mailbox?
It would have to be, 300 to 350 degrees inside the mailbox. It's a brick mailbox. So, a brick home, a brick oven. If you have a pizza oven that's a brick oven outside, that's insulating so that that heat doesn't get out. So the heat's not going to get in. So I'm not sure how hot it would have to be outside for it to get inside.
But she was just kidding, and people took it and ran with it.
We have greenhouses that so that for the energy of the sun to get in there, it would have to be a clear mailbox. It'd have to be glass. And we don't have bread baking in greenhouses for plants.
What would the mailbox have to be made out of to yield the best result?
Well, if you look at how people cook things with the sun, it's real easy to look up solar ovens. And so you can use a pizza box to make s'mores. Girl Scouts of America have it on their website. And so pizza box with reflectors. So you want to concentrate the sun's energy into the box, so your mailbox. You want to have, so more than just the box, you put aluminum foil around it and you're just concentrating all that energy in there. And then you put a piece of clear plastic over top so it gets trapped inside. So if you had a glass or a plexiglass mailbox, the energy from the sun would come in, and then the energy, less of it would get out, because that's when it's going into the glass and it can't get out, the greenhouse effect, because the energy that's returning gets trapped. Technically, it's a different wavelength.
But basically, even on the hottest day, you're going to pull hot dough out of that mailbox.
I think so. It's pretty concentrated. I mean, you need 30 minutes at 300 or 350 inside the mailbox, and we'd have been doing it if we could save the energy. I think every bakery in the country would have it on their rooftop.
Well, maybe that's the future, like solar panels on top of houses. We'll see glass ovens on the roofs of bakeries all over the country.
If I could find a way to cook dinner every night without turning on a grill or a stove or an oven, I'd give that a shot.
You can. It's called a salad.
Or, now hear me out, since we know the bread in the mailbox won't work, how about sidewalk scrambled eggs?
I think you could do it on asphalt. So on a blacktop, and people are getting burned on blacktops. So what you need about 150-158 for safe cooking temperature for the egg.
You could probably hit that on asphalt.
I think so. I wouldn't want to eat it. That wouldn't taste very good.
How about a grilled cheese? I'm thinking of having a grilled cheese for lunch today. Can I do that on the sidewalk outside, butter up the bread and lay it on there?
Except for that asphalt aspect. I think your cheese would melt. I'm not sure about the toastiness of your bread, but if you liked it really melty, you wouldn't even need to put it in the sideways. You'd leave it in your plastic bag and you'd be fine. Crispiness, not so much.
Mike, we're recording this a few days after you interviewed Dr. Ball's Elseholes. Did you go try to make your grilled cheese sandwich on the sidewalk after all?
I have not. And here's why. Because I read recently that concrete is 70% sand and gravel. And our dental insurance is sketchy at best. So I erred on the side of caution.
I mean, I'd go beyond dental insurance into full health insurance if you ingested that.
There are probably chemicals in the asphalt, too, so that won't work either.
No. Well, even though you chickened out, there are brave chefs out there who trek to Oatman, Arizona every year for the Solar Egg Frying Contest.
Now, where exactly is Oatman, Arizona?
Oatman is 2,700 feet above sea level in the northwest corner of Arizona, about 15 miles from the place where Arizona, California, and Nevada meet.
They might be able to pull it off because that is one of the hottest parts of the country. A few years ago, as a matter of fact, my whole family, we drove through there in the middle of summer. I think I could have cooked a standing rib roast on the sidewalk.
Was that not your final destination?
That was not the We were driving through, not to.
Well, that contest, if you're wondering, has been around since 1983, so 40 years now, and will be held on July 4th next year if you want to make that your final stop on the trip.
And if it's hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk, you definitely don't want to be out there without shoes on. Because I know growing up in Texas, we were always told, you go out in the summertime barefoot, you stay on the grass.
Right. I lived in Texas, in Lubbock, Texas, at, you know, tried to walk across campus at 107. That's pretty awful. Definitely don't want to be barefoot. Definitely don't want to sit down on your seat in your car. And so your car is adding, the interior of a car is that much hotter because a lot of that energy isn't getting released. It gets trapped. And so that's why you don't close the windows and leave your kids and your pets inside the car and run in for 5 minutes. It doesn't take long to get hot.
And I'm glad you mentioned pets, because that's another thing. And not just in cars, but we had a dog once that ran outside, and I guess he got on a black surface, maybe an asphalt surface, and just burned his pads off.
Yes. And same thing here in Indiana. But on the other aspect is you don't do that in the wintertime because it gets so cold. They're going to burn. They're going to get frostbite.
With the kind of weather that we've had in many parts of the country this summer, as hot as it's been, you just have to be smart, don't you?
And respectful, smart and respectful of Mother Nature. Be hydrated, have water in the car. You know, if your car breaks down and you can't move anywhere and you can't turn on the AC, you should have some water in the car because it's going to get hot while you're waiting for help. Give yourself time to let that car cool down before you start driving. So that's smart. Mother Nature's giving it back to us. So
is this becoming the norm, or is it going to be the norm?
Yeah, we've basically increased our greenhouse effect by introducing more greenhouse gases with fossil fuel burning. And Texas is sure doing their part with wind energy and some solar, lots of it. So that's going to help. We've already added those chemicals to our atmosphere. And so, yeah, we're going to have longer, hotter. And we've heard that that's what's coming. And it's happened this year for sure.
In cars, how hot can it get in? People don't realize, because we hear the stories all the time about kids getting left in cars, the tragic stories. And I think some people don't realize it doesn't have to be 110 for the inside of your car.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. You know, your car, the interior of a car will cool off if the outside is cool or if there's a good breeze. And so, you know, it's going to help some of that cooling from the windows will help conduct that energy away. But I'm sorry, using technical words, but it's hot and gets trapped in there. You know, you don't want to touch the steering wheel. So when you get in a hot in that car, that's been out in the sun. I had an alum down in Arkansas last summer. He baked cookies. They just closed up the car and they just put cookies on a cookie sheet. And I think in a couple hours, he had chocolate chip cookies. So it worked.
Well, I think our work here is done.
No, I agree. Bread won't bake in the mailbox. An egg cooked on the sidewalk, too dirty to eat. However, I am intrigued by the cookies baked inside of a hot car. That might work. I'm going to give that a try this weekend.
If you do, just make sure you bring some in on Monday for the rest of us.
I'm Mike Rogers. Thanks for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode written and produced by Lauren Berry and Chris Blake. Audio editing by Chris Blake. Original music by Myron Kaplan. And editorial support from Cooper Maugham. Now, to keep listening, please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app or Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story that you think we should cover, we'd love to hear about it. Send it to us at somethingoffbeat@odyssey. That's AUDACY.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.